So how did you do on your rituals and discipline and the challenges?
The rituals and discipline, rituals and discipline. I'm trying to remember because I didn't write that down.
No, it's just basically, look, what we're trying to do is change a few behaviors, right?
Uh-huh.
And those behaviors will be in your best interest long term, but they take some discipline and some rituals in order to make them work over time.
Yeah.
So I don't, you know, it's the idea that we have habits. There are some good habits and some bad habits, but we have habits. We have the job fills the time. And the question is, are we displacing our other habits with better habits so that we get better results? It's a simple business.
That I've done. That I've done. Started a time block and set aside, you know, time for working on the business aside from, you know, handling client calls and you know, just the scheduled meetings, right? You know, scheduled meetings. Trying to get better at that, you know, it sounds easier to do the time blocking than actually doing it, because you tend to go over your time on certain things that are more pressing. You know, it's like this morning, you know, a client reaching out for K-1 and, you know, things like that, because, you know, tax time is coming at for them at, you know, in a week or so. So yeah, I've done that and I'm trying to improve that. You know, I had a call with a prospect this morning, right before our call, that was pretty fruitful. It's a gentleman I've been dealing with for a few years now. He's finally looking like he's going to be able to open the account. It's going to be, you know, it's going to start off at a, you know, below our minimums, but it's going to be above our target market within the next year. You know, if the plans that he has going come to fruition, right?
So tell me where you got it and how it came about.
So we've known him for over 10 years. We were part of this networking group called the Latin Builders Association. He's an engineer. He's a civil engineer. He was in a partnership with another gentleman when we knew him. Eventually, the other gentleman decided to sell him his half, right? Decided to sell him his half, so he owns the whole company now. Name stayed the same and everything, but so I've had him on my drip campaign for a long time. So this was before the pandemic. We met and did a financial plan for him, went through all the steps, because he was, you know, he had some cash value whole life policy. He wanted to, you know, compare and investing and all that. We went through all that. He ended up changing his cash value whole life policy. But he's a civil engineer, so he's had this vision of venturing into property development. Mm-hmm. So he's been working on that for the last 2 years, and one of his project is about to take off now in the next month or so, of this property development that he's been focusing on. It's actually, he's starting off on his own home. Where he lives is a huge lot that could be subdivided into two homes. So he's going to live in one home and build the other one, but sell it at renderings. So he's going to sell that property at rendering. Once construction is done, they close, they knock down the other property where he lived in, and the person has the huge, you know, home with the huge lot. So that's going to take about a year, but he's hoping to sell the property now at rendering for about $4 million. So he's going to profit about $2.5 million off of it with construction costs and, you know, his estimates. So his plan is once he gets that that sold at renderings, which would be in the next 3 to 6 months, you know, he's already finalizing the contractor and all that this week. Then to bring that money over here, get it invested and continue, you know, rolling that over, doing that over time. These one-off developments, you know, these high custom home build outs and sold that rendering. Yeah. So right now he has about 400, well, he has about 600,000 in cash, but 200 of it he did basically like a hard money loan to a business where they're paying him 18% a year. I was like, don't call that. You're not going to get 18% anywhere. You know, keep paying, right. You know, keep that until, you know, the person pays you off, and then we'll look to invest that. Or if you could do another hard money loan at that time, you do it at that time. But the other 400,000 he just has sitting in the bank. And now when he gets his final estimates and all that, he says, well, you know, we'll get the account started with that until I, you know, until I have the cash out on the other property.
Nice. So did that Latin Builders Association generate anybody else?
This was, like I said, it was around 10 years ago.
Yeah.
No, actually, I'm sorry. It was longer than 10 years ago. It was in 2008. it was when the financial crisis, right? So that's how time flies. So what happened was, you know, this was before the crisis. And obviously, it's a builders association. So it was mostly, you know, contractors, developers, everything around the building association. So it's had about 700 members. Completely tanked, you know, for the next 2 or 3 years. So we didn't attend. 10 years ago, we went back, right? We went back just as a guest, as they were trying to revive the organization. We saw him, that we knew him from before, and that's when I started the drip campaign on him.
Is it a group you should belong to?
It's something to consider. You know, it's not a bad group, but they're always going to lean more towards real estate as far as their investments go, right? They're always going to, you know, that's going to be the majority of their investments, but it does give you some, you know, some connections.
Yeah.
And there's no other financial advisor, but, you know, there are very few financial advisors in it.
Yeah. Because they wouldn't. You know, most guys, if they have some money, they're going to put $1 million into a building, you know?
Yeah. 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 So, you know, they want to, they'll have a small portion of their net worth in liquid investments, you know, maybe 30% or so on the high end. Right.
Now, do they typically do that all the way till they die, or do they, at some point say enough is enough. I want to invest in the stock market.
So you're talking about the people in this organization?
Yeah.
Okay. So there's a cultural difference there as well, right? Because this is mostly, obviously it's all Hispanics. It's a Latin builder with the majority of them being Cubans, right? Because it started when the Cubans came over from Cuba. A lot of these guys that started the organization were builders or engineers or contractors in Cuba.
Right.
So I would say 99% of those guys that started it kept their money in real estate the whole time. They never even, but some of the younger guys, you know, their kids and stuff like that, that have, that went to school here and you know, did finance and to get into the business, some of them will have a small portion of their portfolio in liquid assets, but they, like, there's a gentleman that was one of the founders that's worth, you know, his family's worth over $3 billion now. And it's a private company and nobody knows who the heck they are. Right. So it's not somebody you're going to see on, you know, on TV or anything like that. All they own is real estate. They just, you know, they, in every aspect of it, they develop it, they own rental properties, they build out, they do mortgages. So their whole business is tied in within real estate, but they profit about a couple billion dollars a year between their family.
You and I would love them politically, right?
Yeah. There's a lot of synergies there when it comes to the politics of it. But they're, you know, they like hard assets. They like real assets. That's their that's what they have faith in, right? That's what they trust, because it's what they know, right? And it's what build them. It's what build them their wealth. They weren't working for a Fortune 500 company. They were working for their own businesses.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. I would love, you know, if I were an FA in your shoes, I would love my clients down there, all the Cubans. I don't care what business they're in.
Yeah.
You know, they're all love. What? They love capitalism. They love, I think your camera went off. I don't know if you meant to.
Oh, sorry.
So it's just, you'd have so much in common with them politically and culturally. It just seems like, I don't know. It just seems like if there's nobody there, they got to be doing, you know, they got to do something with their money. And
The events are a great time. The events are a great time. They have a luncheon the last Friday of every month. Right. And it's, you know, and very, they'll have a speaker come in. A lot of times they'll bring in, you know, a politician, right?
Well, I got an idea for you. Here's what I found, Rick. The three guys that I coach in my, Thursday morning stock club are all former commercial realtors.
Oh, yeah.
And they were so interested in learning about stocks because they don't know anything.
Yeah.
So I think it would be a great idea to get them in a stock club. Start a theoretic stock club where they pick five stocks. They can, and you can't bet because that would somebody blow the whistle on you. But the idea is that the guy that wins has to buy everybody else lunch. So the guy that wins is actually the loser.
Yeah.
It would be fun. It would be really fun. And I know this sounds crazy, but I have a great time with these guys and they've learned how to invest. And now that, you know, one of them actually, you know, came to my financial, you know, he was getting a bad deal from his advisor and so he moved his account and I don't know how much it was, but it, you know, it moved it to my advisor because I just happened to be, you know, like them and know them the best. And they told me, thank you. This is a very big account. I didn't know how big it was, but, the idea is you don't think they have any money in the stock market, but they probably do, but they don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
And I think they would really relish the fact that you would take the time to kind of have some fun with them and teach them. So we each put in, I don't think you can do this because you're a financial advisor, but we each put in $100 and we bet on it. And, I guess that would be sort of an outside interest problem, but,
Yeah, that'd be outside business interest thing.
But if you didn't bet, and you just did it as an educational experience, and you were just, you know, training people on how to invest, and you were sort of, you could, I mean, I don't see any reason that you couldn't put your five stocks in there too and have fun. I don't win, you know, but I teach them about, you just had a very good piece, by the way, that you came out with that was, done by, Miller, Mike Wilson. I mean, it was really good. It was very good. It was talked about different sectors. There was an interview with, Kathy Woods, Kathy, right? And it was great, you know, the ARC funds, you know, so they talked about the future.
Oh, yeah. 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 ARC ETF.
I'd get on there and get that piece because it was posted by one of the other guys I coach, and he posted it, and I read the whole thing this morning, and it's fairly elaborate. I think you come out with it monthly. I've never seen it. I found it very helpful. It'd be very good. You could post that and give it to them. You could send it to the whole group, you know, every month.
But I'd have to get involved with the group first again and have to get involved with them again. And,
yeah, but they've got money now. Big difference. They're rich now.
Yeah.
Miami's on the, you know, Miami's going crazy.
Yeah.
And they're, you know, these guys are all my age. They're all 70. But plus, right? So they're not.
Well, a lot of the guys are in their 50s. A lot of, you know, because a lot of the second generation took over.
Well, and you're interested in their dads.
Yeah.
You know, you're interested in the guys.
I'm interested in all of them. I'm interested in all. I mean, these people are very wealthy all around.
Right. So I wouldn't. I think it's a good idea. It's a little different, but what I found is that these guys are a lot of fun. They're my buddies anyway, right? But they all invest. They're all learning. You know, we've got one of them's a value, believes in value. I'm kind of GARP, growth at a reasonable price, but I'm also momentum, and I'm also looking for story stocks. I'm kind of all over the place, depending on what I think is kind of going to be fun at the time. So I'm, you know.
Well, GARP, that piece had a lot on GARP, the Kathy Wood piece.
Yeah. She's very good. She's very smart. And you know, I really understood where she was going. It wasn't really that I learned a lot. I just found it sort of updating all the things that I kind of believe in, like the big revolution that's going to happen with driverless cars. And that she talked about, you'll rent a car, but will be a car that'll suit your, if you're going to do an overnight, you'll get a car with a bed, you know, and then you'll, if you want to leisurely drive, you get a leisurely car. If you want a work car, you go, you know, you're going to get a work car. It's more like when you get on the train, you get an overnight sleeper, right? You don't worry about driving it. It's more of what your function you want it to be. You know, I want to work. Yeah. I want to work on my computer. I need a desk. If I'm going to sleep, I want this. If I want to watch a movie, I want this. That's the way we're going to rent cars. And the average car is being used 1 hour a day. 1 hour a day, 23 hours it sits. And the question is that good use of automobiles? And if, you know, 90% will be electric and they'll be driverless, how many cars will there really be needed? You'll keep them for investments or for fun, just convenience. But practically speaking, Uber will be, you know, picking you up and dropping you off, and they'll be everywhere. But fewer cars on the road, so traffic will be diminished dramatically. So anyway,
well, we have friends that rent their cars through one of those rideshare apps.
Yeah,
they're not driverless cars, right? But they
rent,
you know, kind of like Airbnb.
Yeah, that company's going public. I just read that. Mm-hmm. Aura or something like that. It's got a different name.
Yeah, there's a few of them. There's a few of them that do it. They've even told us about it. Just, you know, the liability for us is not worth it right now.
Right.
But they make some good money off it. They make, you know, $3,000 or $4,000 a month, you know, renting their car that they have three cars and there's only two of them. So they rotate the cars that they rent.
That's a riot. And depending on what kind of a car it is, you get pretty good money. But here's the other thing they talked about, and I've been saying this all along. It's basically a computer on a battery with wheels, right? That's what the car is going to be. And she talked about the average car being $70,000 now, and she thinks that within a very reasonable short period of time, within 5 years, there'll be $18,000.
Oh, wow. Just because the demand will go down.
No, it'll be more a combination of the price, the battery, the value, the cost of the batteries has dropped. It's like the cost of a, you know, it's Moore's law, which is, you know, on computers, they keep going down in price. Well, the same thing is they go up in capacity and down in batteries are going to get more and more efficient and cost less and less and less. So the computers will go down in price and the battery price will go down. So overall, the cost of the car will be $18,000. Plus, there'll be five times less to operate. So it'll be 100% electric. You'll just have a gas car because you want a collector's item, like keeping a diamond or a piece of gold.
Yeah.
So your next car should be an electric car.
We do a long short fund that it does a very similar strategy. It's the next industrial revolution, right? They're saying it's, you know, the autonomous driving, the AI. So that's what they invest in. They go long on a lot of those positions and then they go short on, you know, some of the more traditional, you know, utilities, things like that they see are overpriced.
That's really interesting. Yeah, I'd like to see that. Anyway, let's go back to initiatives that you've taken so we don't run out of time here. Initiatives that we've taken since we last talked, what have you been up to?
Well, as I said, you know, doing the time blocking and reaching out to clients. I joined a mastermind group. It's through, you know, you connect with each other through Facebook, but a lot of the clients, not a, a lot of the participants, what we do is set up Zoom calls with each other to get to know each other and see how we can help each other out. So I have a Zoom call coming up next week for that.
Great. What else?
Well, we've gone back to, you know, agendas, executive summaries, you know, going back to the basics to make sure that we stay referable to our clients, and not missing on any of those.
Great. All right. I have an idea for you. All right. This is a simple idea.
Okay.
It's been around forever, but it's a good idea. The idea is if you want to double your business, all you have to do is get each one of your clients to give you a client that is the same size that they are. Sounds easy, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But here's what you do, and you can actually explain this to your client. And you've probably heard this before, but it's called the endless chain referral system. And the system is predicated on one thing, that when you become a client, you lose the most valuable thing that you have, which is a prospect.
The endless
Endless
referral
chain
system?
Yeah, referral system.
Chain referral system.
And so when you open the account, you tell the client, thank you, congratulations. You know, we're very excited to have you as a client, but I've just lost the most valuable thing that I have. And they go, what? And you tell them, a prospect. Okay? So by becoming a client, I have, we now build a wonderful relationship. But if I'm going to spend the time and energy to do my job well, do the research to find the right stocks, do your financial planning, that means I don't have time to find you as a prospect. And you'd rather have me spend my time helping you rather than prospecting. So what I need for you to do is to not break what we call the endless chain referral system. So you have one challenge, which is to find someone just like yourself. And have them become a client. Not just give me an introduction. The chain is broken if we never get an introduction that becomes a client. And you are done, if you so choose to, you're done once you replace yourself. And the chain is then not broken. See, you could have a club of people that have, you know, you could have a dinner for those people that kept the chain going.
Yeah.
You know, keep the chain going club. Right? So what, yeah. Along with, you know, that chart we have customer, client, advocate, ambassador, right?
Yes.
You can put that in there and say, okay, how many, and just put like a little star asterisk by the people that have replaced themselves. Because if they give you an introduction that isn't as good as they are, it doesn't work. Right? It's gotta be as good as they are or better. And so that's their job. That's their lifetime job, is to replace themselves. I think everybody would understand that, right?
Yep.
And if they give you one and they find out it works, they probably will be trained then to give you more. Right? So if you get them to do it once, then you say, congratulations, you are now in our ambassadors club. And our goal is to have you be in the ambassadors club every year. And then you get a cruise out in the harbor, a dinner cruise.
Yeah.
Right? Every year. People like that stuff. They like to be involved in your practice. Now, not everybody, but some. So one, the person that doesn't like giving referrals or introductions, at least they should replace themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The rest of them that love it, they can replace themselves every year. Now, I don't know what clicks with different people, but I just thought, you know, this might just click with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of wish sometimes I was Cuban. They do have fun, don't they? Oh, my God.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like I said, the events are more fun than a lot of business, you know, but
they got to be great people, too, right? People that like to have that much fun aren't boring people. Yeah. They're fun people. Like
no, it's far from boring. Boring. The events are far from boring.
Yeah, it's like Polish. I went to a Polish wedding. So much fun. So much fun. I'm like, I want to be Polish.
That's awesome.
You know, a lot of times, you know, WASP can be very boring. white Anglo-Saxon Protestants. Everybody thinks, oh, white Anglo-Saxon Protestant. No, not so much.
Yeah.
I'm even Episcopalian, you know. That's like the most boring of all. Anyway.
Boring is fun sometimes.
Yeah, I know.
It can be boring sometimes.
Yeah, a little. We need a few cocktails to loosen the boys up, but I can usually get them loosened up. But we need some Cubans in our. We need to have a few Cubans to teach us how to behave. You know how to.
Well, there's some in Nashville. My brother's there, and my cousin. They're like they tell us they're a little bit outside of Nashville. They're in Columbia, where it's close to Spring Hill.
Yeah.
We have this Cuban friend. And they're like, hey, but don't tell anybody in Miami because then they all come here. Give me one second, Rob. Give me one second.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yes, I'm back.
Oh, sorry.
All right, I'll let you go. You like that idea, the endless chain referral system?
Yeah, yeah.
It's simple, right?
And I actually, I'm going to start looking into going to events at this organization again.
Yeah, they've just come into a lot of money in the last 3 years.
Yep.
They're going to be rich and they're going to need to diversify. Yeah. And the reason they don't invest in our business is they don't trust it. They think it's too risky. Yeah. You think it's not that they think they can make more money in real estate. It's that they don't understand the stock market and they don't think they can trust it. They think it's gambling. Yeah. Okay. So you got an education job to do there, but you'll make some good friends. And you'll teach them and they'll probably do great. Okay. But you got to teach them. I would teach them value investing and then I would probably use good REITs. Now I'm not a big fan of REITs, right? But these guys would love REITs.
I like private REITs. I'm not a big fan of the public REITs.
I'm not a big fan of REITs in general, but you know, like there's one that my buddy owns that he's owned forever, which is like American Tower. Is that right?
Yeah. Well, that's a cell phone tower REIT.
And they've done just fabulously. But it's a business, yeah. Right? It's a business. It's not, you know, and if you were in storage units or, you know, retirement communities, I think you just have to know the business that you're in. And those guys could probably be helpful in terms of what they think would be good values in terms of REITs. But I'm not, like I said, I don't buy REITs. But anyway, I just think you have some fun and you could teach them portfolio management and rates of return and all that stuff and watch. And, you know, if you let them run it, you use, you know, tools and you let them run their fake portfolios, they'll see the value over time of dividends and what that does to the rates of return. People don't understand how powerful dividends are to giving you a good rate of return. Anyway, it's just some things that I've learned with my little stock club. They're very interesting people. And it turns out they all have a lot more money than I thought they did. So, you know, they're a little sneaky.
Yeah.
Right. Anyway, so have some fun and you can, you know, I would just look around for different Cuban organizations to join and get out there and join them. I just think that'd be fun.
Yeah.
I mean,
there's also the Kiwanis Club down here, that is in Little Havana. That's really big.
I just think it'd be fun. Those, you know, I might be wrong, but it just seems like, you know, with COVID being over, people want to get out, you know, meet each other, see people and have fun. God, so boring. Yeah. And I think, you know, look, you guys have got, you're good guys. You have a good track record. You know, you do well for your clients. Your performance is good. Give them a chance, right? Give them a chance to do business.
Yeah.
With them, right.
Yeah.
And try that endless chain referral system. People will feel guilty if they don't bring you somebody then. Once you explain it to them, they'll always feel guilty, and guilty is a powerful thing. They'll always have it in the back of their mind. You know, what can I do for, you know, Rick has been so good to us. What can I do for him? Oh, I remember. Give him an introduction. More valuable than anything you could give him, right?
Yep.
All right. So tell Roxanne I missed her.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did we want to do the VEA? I wrote that down on VEA accountability code.
Yeah. What we did, the VEA, we have the VEA. Wait, she sent me messages. Yeah, he's starting to handle all our contact management communication with the prospects. And he's, you know, he's sending out targeted marketing campaigns to our prospects and tracking. He actually has, data on what they're opening and what they're not opening. And he's also handling all the Google ads for us now.
Great. Yeah. So that's you're putting him to work, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. He can be your accountability coach. I think that's a brilliant idea.
Yeah.
Roxanne, got anything going on?
No.
You're the marketing guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's too busy. Family.
Yeah. Yeah.
These girls, you know, it's magic.
Yeah.
They have their priorities. They really can't get too far away from making sure everything goes just right with the family. Then they got time for everything else.
Yeah. Yeah. Their family's very demanding.
All right. You stay well.
Yeah, you too. Take care, Rob.
Okay. Thanks, Rick. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.